Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
If you were looking to note the accomplishments of men, you might look at the skylines of Dallas, or New York, London, Paris, etc. Because all of these metroplexes have great big tall skyscrapers. And in each skyscraper are many offices. And in each office there seems to be a computer. And all these computers are tied together in a network of computers, and they go about trying to determine our financial health, our physical health. They even determine what we might like to watch on the movies or on television. And if you were an enemy of this culture, you might try to destroy the buildings themselves. You might fly into the World Trade Tower. You might hack into the computer system of one of our larger film companies, because that would bring down a portion of our culture. But if you were wise, if you were really smart, you might instead instill a virus into the servers of that network of computers, so that once that virus spread from office to office, from computer to computer, you would have a total failure of the system. It would fail. The United States did a similar thing, or is reported to, when they were trying to determine how to build nuclear weapons in Iran. We simply infected their system, their server, with a virus. And that computer virus set them back a number of years. That is an example of exactly what Satan has done to us. Satan planted a virus in our human DNA. He began with Adam and Eve. He got on the inside of Adam and Eve, and he planted a virus that was contagious, that has gone through every succeeding generation. That is what he did. And we all have fallen. And we fall short of the original design that God Himself gave each of us when He created us in His own image. God created us. And He has had to watch as we have corrupted His image here on earth because of the virus that is within us. God gave each man and woman, starting with Adam and Eve, a particular attribute, an attribute of holiness. That's what allowed Adam and Eve to walk in the presence of God. That is what allows each of us to walk in the presence of God when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. That holiness void is there because it has been eaten away by the virus that Satan planted. We find in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam, all men die, because the wages of sin is death. The virus that is within us causes us to wither up and die. That is the natural consequences of being infected through the server of Adam and Eve. All die except one. who never had the virus of sin at all. Let us go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you have brought us to a time in which we can open your word and listen to the words of life and death, and we might know the truth, and the truth might set us free, free from the infection that we have. We know that Satan tempts us and that he has a way of destroying us, that he roams around like a hungry lion seeking those he may devour. And yet, Father, you have provided a way out of that network. Father, let us hold on to that today. Let us see what that path away from the destruction of sin and into the holiness of God is. May each of us know it as we leave this place today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you open your Bibles with me to Luke? Luke chapter 4. I have entitled this message, Tempted, and it comes from this particular chapter. If you would look at chapter 4, just verses 1 through 2. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. Notice that God always takes the initiative. But the Holy Spirit led Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God into the desert. God was putting out the bait to attract the lion who would devour every single solitary thing he sees to Jesus. He staked out the Lamb of God to draw Satan in. The first step was to put Jesus there. Jesus, who is meek and mild, who seems as harmless as any lamb. But he is the Lamb of God. He is therefore not harmless. C.S. Lewis wrote many books. And in one book he wrote about a lion of Judah, Absalom. And one of the little animals says, "Have you felt the lion coming near? Have you ever seen him?" And the other little animal says, "No, but I have heard his steps and felt the earth shake." Jesus appears to be just a humble Lamb of God, willing to give his life for those who he would encounter in his ministry. The devil approached Jesus because he appeared on the outside simply to be the Lamb, for he sought to devour him. The devil approached Jesus as he had Adam. He wanted to try a direct encounter to try to destroy Jesus. Things were different. Adam and Eve were in a garden. Jesus was in a desert. Adam and Eve picked all the food they wanted and consumed it from the trees, and it was only the tree of life that they could not, you remember, touch and eat from. And they wanted that too, but they would have reached it eventually, but they were full for the moment on all of the things that God had provided for them. Jesus, on the other hand, was hunger. Hunger that had lasted 40 days. in the wilderness. He had a ravenous hunger. Things were different. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. Adam and Eve had company for one another. They had an enforcement of each other because they had one another. They were a community. They had one another to reinforce their sin as well as their holiness. Jesus was alone. Adam and Eve had a DNA of holiness placed in them from the very beginning when they were created. But that DNA was disturbed. That holiness that allowed them to walk in the presence of God had been disturbed. It had been knocked out of kilter because Satan had been successful in their temptation. Jesus was the Son of God. He came from a completely different network. He was holy. He had no virus of sin within him. But Satan used the same techniques on Jesus that he had used on Adam and Eve. First, of course, he tried to destroy Jesus at his birth when he put into Herod the idea that he should kill all the children under 2 years old, all the male children. When that failed, then he reverted back to that old tried and true temptation that he uses on us today, that he used on Adam and Eve. Now he uses them on Jesus. The first is confusion. I want you to look at verse 3 and 4. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." If you are the Son of God, as you claim you are, then try to do something about it. You've got a hunger. Do something. He used this kind of confusion, this kind of way of reaching Jesus. Have you ever heard the voice of evil saying, "If you are a Christian, if you're a Christian, why does your father not feed you? Why doesn't he take you away from the sickness? Why doesn't he heal you? Why doesn't he give you a path that's easy? Why does he continuously try you? Why does he not allow you to have everything you should be entitled to, your inheritance? Why don't you see his hand providing for your comfort? Ought you to do these things for yourself? Maybe you should. Maybe you should take charge of everything yourself. God helps those who help themselves, right? You know, let's take these stones and turn them into bread. Feed yourself." And Jesus replies, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Remember that Jesus was born to die for you and me. He was humbling himself before the Word of God. He was not looking for an escape plan. He was not looking to achieve his own comfort. He was not looking to try and find some way out of his obligation. He was not looking for personal gratification. And so the devil tried his next attack, which we are going to label presumption, in verse 9. He brought him to Jerusalem to set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Satan says something to us like this if we're a Christian. He says, given that you're a Christian and God is your Father, you can be assured that God will protect you and provide for you no matter what. You are God's only love. He's going to provide for you in every situation. You can do anything you want. You can get away with anything. You can throw yourself down from a highest peak. And His angels will come and grab you and let you float harmlessly to the ground. So go ahead. Take the drink. Take the smoking of the marijuana. Do whatever. Take the drugs. Do whatever. Enjoy yourselves. God will forgive you anything. You are His. So God will forgive you of everything. So don't worry about anything. Go ahead and do it. Enjoy everything. Have all the pleasures that you can have as a man or a woman. Indulge yourself. Go ahead. Jesus replied, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." So having lost the first two attacks, Satan tries his old standby, ambition. Go back to 5. "And the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to you whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all this will be yours.'" Oh, my goodness. Have you ever heard the temptation of Satan? Satan is saying to Jesus, obedience is hard. It's hard. You're going to have to deny yourself, and eventually it's going to cost you your life. Because you're going to have to give it all away, even your very heart, away to God. You're going to have to give it all, every ounce of blood that's in you. You're going to have to follow Him all the way. Obedience is hard. But follow me. You don't have to be obedient. You don't have to do that. You can have it now. You don't have to wait for the sweet by and by. You can have it right now. Come on. Join the gravy train. You can have it all. Right this minute. You can have it all. Take that drink. Do whatever is necessary. I don't require your obedience. You can have it all. You can do anything you want. Just bow before me one time. One time. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. I'll do everything else. See, that's the path of least resistance. That's Satan saying to you, "Hey, look, I'm happy to compromise. The devil will let you go to church. He'll let you be a religious person. As long as you don't give your entire obedience to God or God's word, you can have it all. You can be a preacher, an evangelist, and still reap all the pleasures of being a pimp or a drug king. You can have all the money. You can have all the sex. You can have all everything. You don't have to do anything at all. I'll compromise with you. You can be a religious person if that's what you want to pretend to be. You can be anything you want. I don't care." See, Satan is happy to compromise. He's happy. Just let your ambition run wild. Everything you can imagine is yours. But Jesus, unlike too many of us, does not negotiate. He does not compromise. The strategy that worked well in the garden does not work at all in the desert. It worked well with Adam and Eve. Satan was able to place his virus in the server in Adam and Eve, and they passed it on into the network of fleshly outcomes. Those were initiated by men. They were the network that you and I are a part of. That's the reason all of us find that sin is pleasurable for a season, but in the end, it leads to death and destruction. Every generation has found that to be true. Jesus would not become that. He was the servant of mankind, and you could not get within Jesus' heart. He would not be a carrier of the virus that kills and steals and destroys. He said no to the devil. In verse 13. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him to a more appropriate time. The devil is coming back. You're going to see his head rise up several times. Peter's going to become one of those that says no to Jesus. Everybody's going to say no to Jesus. Every time it happens, Jesus is going to be tempted again. But he's going to come back ultimately with a baseball bat when Jesus is on the cross and kill him, because he doesn't believe that Jesus is special at all. He doesn't believe that anyone will remember his teachings. He doesn't believe that anybody will ever hear Jesus or remember his miracles. They will not know Jesus at all. Once he's dead, he's dead. But Jesus rose. And that made all the difference. Satan had to try to recalibrate, because in 1 Corinthians 5, 15-23, it says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. He changed everything. He gave us a way of escape. You see, Satan does not have the final word. God does. Satan's final word was that Jesus was dead and buried, and boy, did they break out and have a party. The devil led all the demons in hell to have a huge party because they could not understand that Jesus was coming back again. He was rising from the dead, and he rises along with all of us. He forms his own network, a network of righteousness that unites us with Jesus. People are joined to him not by physical birth, like we are joined by Adam and Eve, and you can trace your DNA, your human DNA, back to that. But he joins us by the gift of the Holy Spirit of God coming inside you and recreating you into a new creature. You are therefore no longer in the network that Satan has planted the virus in. Now, you are in the righteousness of Christ. One, Satan's network is still at work in the world. Boy, do we see it. And it brings corruption and destruction every place it goes. Death. But the consequences of Jesus' righteousness runs through his network, changing the eternal destiny of everyone it touches. When we come to Jesus in repentance and faith, the Holy Spirit joins us to him. We're still dead in our sins. We live in a fallen world, and one day we will die. Unless Jesus comes back first, we are all destined to die. But when we are in Christ, we will rise again. On the way there are a lot of repairs to do. We're under construction still. But God made you. He knows how to remake you. He has the power to remake each and every one of us into the image of his own dear Son. Jesus Christ came to set us free. We don't have to follow that old network any longer. Whom Christ has set free is free indeed. We can be free to love, free to follow. Yes, following Jesus means we deny ourselves. Jesus said, "He who would follow me must first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me." It's not a bed of roses. He's not promised that. But there is a wonderful hope that is in Jesus' words, that whosoever lives in him will live forever. We do not have to choose today to simply follow in the footsteps of Adam and Eve. We can follow the footsteps of Christ. That is what I hope that each of us will do today. You know, Jesus wants us, body, mind, and spirit. He wants it all. He's not going to compromise with us. He's not going to let you be part in heaven and part in hell. He's not going to let you be part of this world and straddle the fence and be part of heaven as well. You have to be all in. All in. He said, I would wish that you were either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, because you're not all in, I would spew you out of my mouth. You need to all be in Christ. And He needs to be in you. And you need to be following Him, forsaking all others, cleaving only unto Him. For He is the one who can give us life and life eternal.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.